And we're holding on Lamed Daled Amud Beis by the Mishnah at the bottom. Basically, from here through the rest of this perek and the entire next perek, except for one line in our Mishnah and a dozen or so lines in the Gemara on Lamed Vav, we're going to be off the topic of Gittin and on to we mentioned a couple of takanas of Rav Gamliel Azakin having to do with Dinim of Gittin. We've learned about a couple of takanas of Rav Gamliel Azakin in Hilchos Gittin that were done mifnei Tikkun Olam. So therefore, we're going to be talking about a bunch of other takanas and things that were done mifnei Tikkun Olam and later on mifnei Dakei Shalom. So we're only going to get back to except for, like I say, one line in our Mishnah about Ha'edim Chosim and Aget and Petikun Olam and a short discussion about it in the Gemara, which we'll learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Other than that, the next time we're going to be talking directly about Hilchos Gittin is going to be in the sixth Perek, almost a month from now. Mishnah says, Ein Almana Nifras V'nichsi Yisomim Ela B'Shavua. An Almana can only get her Ksuba paid out of the property of the Yisomim only if she first swears. Rashi says she has to swear that she didn't previously receive any part of her ksuba. The Rambam adds also that she has to also include, for example, that she wasn't moichel her ksuba, and she didn't sell it to somebody else, etc. Nimnu malashpia. Eventually what happened was people avoided making her swear for reasons which we'll talk about in the Gemara, because swearing is a very serious thing. If there was any shade of a thing in her oath that was invalid, although, then there could be some serious consequences. So what happens is... The Shavua is Midrabanan, yeah. The general rule the Gemara is going to tell us, we have the general rule we've talked about in Ksubas, that whenever you're collecting from Nichsi Yisomim, whenever you're collecting from the property of Yisomim, you always have to take a Shavua before you collect anything. This applies to a Bachoy, it applies to an Amana, etc. So Nimnu Malashbiya, so they started avoiding making her swear because they were worried about the consequences. So what would happen then? The consequences was we'll talk about in the Gemara. Therefore, the upshot was she wasn't able to collect her ksuba, period. Hiskin Rav Gamliel Azakin, she can't get the Yisamim Kol Mashiyut. So therefore Rav Gamliel Azakin made a takana that instead of a shrua, let her make a neder to the Yisamim on whatever they want. Let them pick something that it'll be hard for her to keep up a neder in. For example, Rashi gives an example that she'll say that I'm asking mini mizonos will be also to me. So the Gemara will give an example involving food, whatever, something that would be very difficult for her to keep up. And then the goyvik subasa. Then on that basis, she can collect her suba like this. If in fact she had collected her suba previously or any part of it, then yes, she'll be also in those things. So that way, this way it avoids the problem of a shavua. But on the other hand, they have some kind of guarantee that she didn't already collect some part of it or all of it, and now it's trying to get it again. What's the difference between a neder and a shvua? A few different things among them. There's one idea that a shvua is unconditional, basically. If she takes the shvua, or if she's administered the shvua, that she didn't collect any part of it, if she did collect any part of it, then, like we're going to learn in the Gemara, there's serious consequences. As opposed to a neder, for example, okay, so then in that case, fine, so she won't eat this particular mizonos or whatever. It'll be hard on her, but at least it'll be manageable. They bring from the Yerushalmi actually a couple of other things in it. One is that people in those days generally were more careful about Nedarim than they were about Shavuos. A Shavuos, she might, as we'll learn in the Gemara, she might say, okay, I have an excuse to say it's not so bad. I collect, yes, I did get part of it, but I deserve to get part of it up until now, and I'm still entitled to the rest. Whereas in Nedar, people were careful about that kind of thing. So that's what we'll talk about in the Gemara, about a Shavua, but the Yerushalmi brings this idea that people a Shavua may be more serious la halacha, but as far as the way people thought about it, people tended to think that a neder is more serious than a Shavua.
It's unusual to make someone obligated to make a Shavua to something that I've done.
There's many cases, Jabbanon, where a person is required to take a shvur. There's a few cases where you swear in order to be potter from mammon, and then Jabbanon, there's a number of cases where if you want to collect on a certain mammon, you have to swear. We've talked about
it. It's more something to write.
Okay, so we have. We've talked about some of them in Ksubas. When we get to Masechta, when we get to Masechta Shavuos, a couple of years from now, we'll talk extensively about this. Yeah. Another one, another thing that Pedon Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam is that the Edim sign a get. So Rashi adds, it's another Takana of Rav Gamliel HaZaken. And again, tomorrow, when we get to tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about what he means. Don't the Edim have to sign the get Medaraisa? So we'll get to that. The Hilul, it's Kinpruzbal Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam, and another thing that was done Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam in order to make things better for the world was that Hilul instituted the concept of a Pruzbal, which we'll also start talking about tomorrow, Bez Hashem. About all the, which we did this half year, indeed. So we'll talk about all the ins and outs of it tomorrow, Bez Hashem. So the Gemara starts off, my Yuya Almana, why specifically is the Mishnah telling us that an Almana has to take to the Shavuah if she's going to collect from Nifsi Yisemim? I feel a Kula Amanami. Anybody who wants to collect from Nifsi Yisemim, a Baal Chayv also, if the father owed somebody money, he also, and this person wants to collect, he also has to swear. That's the general rule we have. If you want to collect from the nechassim of Yisoyimim, then you always have to swear. The Rabbanon did that because the Yisoyimim themselves may not be certain about what's going on over here. They don't know about all their father's affairs, so they may end up paying out without realizing that it was already paid off or whatever. So you make the guy swear, even if Midoraisi wouldn't have had to. There's an example of having to swear in order to collect money, Midrabbanon, in order to collect. So what's the chiddush about an Amanon? The answer is Amana, it's Trichala. Yes, that's true, but the Mishnah had to specifically tell us in the case of an Amana, Safidat Chamina Mishum China, because other Mishum China Akilur Rabbanan Gabal, because otherwise you might have said that there's a matter of Chain, and maybe therefore the Rabbanan will make on her. What's Chain? So we learned about Chain a bunch of times in Ksubas. Rashi over here, as well as we learned it a number of times in Ksubas, says that it means that you want men to have Chain in the eyes of women. You want women to have an incentive to get married. A woman knows when she gets married that her husband promises her a ksuba, and eventually when he dies or he divorces her, she's going to get it. She needs to have, you would think, you want to have some kind of fairly ironclad guarantee that she's going to get it. Otherwise, what incentive does she have to get married in the first place? So chino therefore means chen. It means the gracefulness. It means that women should like men and want to marry them. Christmas in a number of places explains the other way around that you want that a woman should have a certain amount of financial security, so men will want to marry them, so you're not marrying somebody who has nothing to their name. So the same idea. You want to make it easier, you would think, for the Almana to be able to collect her ksuba. So that later on another man will want to marry her. I'm marrying somebody who's penniless and she's bringing nothing into the marriage. No, like this, at least she's bringing in something. So you would think because of that, Akilu Rabbanon Gabba, you would think maybe therefore the Rabbanon Ameko on her. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush in the Mishnah that even an Almana still has to swear, just like anybody else would. Mishnah said Nimnu Mashviya, but then what happened was they started avoiding making her swear the Shvura before collecting. My timer, so I said, why? Elaim Mashum de Rav Kahana, are you going to say that it's because of the following story that Rav Kahana told? The Amr Rav Kahana, the Amr La Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, others say that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Maisa Ba'odim Ech B'Shnei Batzeres. It happened with a certain person during a year of drought, so there was a famine going on. He gave for safekeeping, he gave a gold dinner to an almana to keep for him. She put it in a jar of flour. Later on, she forgot that it was in there. She ended up baking it into a loaf of bread. It's not so funny, wait. And she ended up giving, and she gave that bread to a poor person. Don't laugh. This is serious business, right? Later on, the person who had deposited the dinner with her came back. He says to her, give me my dinner. She says to him a strong expression. May poison have power over one of the children of that woman, meaning herself. If I had any hana from your dinner. She's accepting a... Don't laugh. It's a serious business over here. She's taking a curse on herself. Or on her children, if she ever had any hana from that dinner. Amru, well, they said, not very long passed before one of her children passed away. And when the Chachamim heard about what happened, Amru, they said, look at this. Mami Shanishba Be'emeskach. Look, if that's what happened to somebody who swore truthfully that she didn't have hanah from the dinner, or at least she thought she didn't, we'll see in a second that she did have a certain hanah from it. Kach, and yet such a serious, such a terrible thing happened. Hanishba al sheker, alachas kama kama, which more so when a person knowingly swears falsely. So we have to say my time at Yansha. So we have to consider why Taka, why was she punished? What was false in her shvur? She said she didn't have any hanah from the dinner. How did she have hanah? The answer is the ishtar she lost from the dinner because she gained from the space inside the loaf of bread where the dinner was. She didn't need that amount of flour to make the bread. She gained that amount of flour.
It's a small amount.
So the Rashba says, actually, we see from this that a shrua on even less than a shava pruta is a pretty serious thing. We see over here, I mean, the amount of flour that's in the volume of a gold dinner is very little. Loaves of bread were baked in a standard size then. So the Rashba wants to say that based on this, you see that a shrua sheker, even less than a shava pruta, is serious business. On the other hand, the Ben Yehoyada talks about that maybe he says one reason, he asks, why does Rav Kahana make a point of saying that this happened to Shnei Batzeris in a year of famine? What would be the difference if it happened in any other year? So he says maybe that's it. Maybe not what the Rashba says. Maybe in fact in a year of famine when prices are inflated, yes, the amount of flour that takes up the volume of a gold dinner might well be worth a pruta. And therefore, there you have that. It was a false shvur on a shvur pruta. He talks about other reasons also. He and other Mephoshim talk about other possible reasons why the focus on it was Shnei Batzeris. One thing he says is, look, you see that after all, she went and gave this bread to a poor person. Mestama, in a Shnei Batzeris, that may have well been what was needed to keep the guy alive. That's a tremendous chus. Even that chus didn't help her when it was a shvur that turned out to be false.
What if the problem is
she wasn't a chacham, the pashas. I mean, okay, kilos hediyot even has a certain effect, but still, she specifically said, "Im nehnesi midinner off mitzvah." If I had any hanah from your dinner, yeah. Anyway,
she has a promise, right?
Right.
She gets the concept of promising lightly, also.
No, but actually, the choice is. Actually, based on what we're going to get to soon in the Gemara is going to soon make a distinction between a shvur in Beis Din and outside of Beis Din. The Tosfos Rid and also the Meiri say that actually the Gemara is not giving us the full text of what she said. We're saying that she just said that the Sama Mavis should have power over one of my children. Tosfos Rid wants to say that actually she must have used a name of Hashem or a kinui of Hashem at least in this shvur in order for it to have such a strong effect. So anyway. So what do you mean, look at what happens even to someone who swears truthfully? It wasn't truthful, because she did save the amount of flour that didn't go into that space. Okay, the answer is kimi shenish ba'emes. Right, but we mean it's like she swore truthfully. It was a shogin.
But she actually gave it a shogin. She ate that challah for herself. She gave it away.
No, but that's not the point. She saved that like this. She would have given away to the Ani that extra bit of flour as well. Like this, she has that extra bit of flour for herself. Fine, the Ani, very nice. The Ani got something extra. But she saved that little bit of flour. That's what I'm saying. So you want to say, therefore, that in this case, even though she was a shogig, she didn't know that anything was wrong over here, nevertheless, there was such a severe consequence. So therefore, you're going to say that's why, in the case of the Almana, that the Yesodim stopped trying to administer a shvur to her. Because what happens, for example, let's say sometime during the time when she was married to her husband, at one point she may have gotten a little bit extra and forgotten or whatever, that she got a little extra, and therefore that ought to be deducted from her ksuba. Tosfos discusses over here, by the way, that a person is potter from a shvur shava for an onus. We learned about this concept in Nedarim. On the face of it, isn't this an onus over here? Because Shitaka didn't know. Shitaka didn't know that the coin was in the flour jug. And Tosfos gives the answer that the fact of the matter is it wasn't pikadon. She has a responsibility to begin with to watch it more carefully than that.
And it was free. She paid for watching it.
Well, she's a shemachinim, fine, but even a shemachinim has to be careful. They're not allowed to be pesheya. So she has to be extra careful to know to put it away someplace safe, not, for example, in the jar of flour. And then and to realize that as a pikadon, it may be anyway that there may be a situation where she'll end up having to swear to what happened. A shomer, there can be cases where the thing gets lost or stolen or what have you, and in order to be potter, you need to swear a shavur. So she should have, Tosfos says, therefore, it's not a total oinus, because she should have realized that, you know what, there's a possibility there's going to come a shavur. So you're going to say that that's the wheat. Yeah, if she had microwaved it, if she had a microwave oven, then she wouldn't have had a problem. But if you're going to say that that's the reason, my yamana for the grushanami. If that's the case, then the same thing shouldn't apply. Then it shouldn't just be the case with an amana that you should be concerned about this. In the case of a grusha also, if it happens that a grusha needs to swear. One idea being, for example, that we learned in Ksuba, so there can be cases where Grusha also has to swear before collecting her Ksuba. One is, for example, if she's Pagemis Ksuba, so if she in fact got part of it paid previously and now she's having the rest paid off or whatever. Or it can be a case where she was a Grusha and then afterwards her ex died, whatever. Alama Amr Abzeda Amr Shmuel. So why do we see that Abzeda said in the name of Shmuel, Lo Yishanu El Almana, that we only learned when the Mishnah tells us that Almana, that the stages of what happened with an Almana, that originally she had to swear, then they stopped making her swear, and then Rav Gamliel Zakin made the Takana that instead she should make a Neder. So Abzeda tells us in the name of Shmuel, all this applies only to an Almana, Abba Grusha Mashbino. So Grusha, we do make her swear. If it's that we're worried about the possibility that maybe some of it was paid off and now she's trying to collect the rest, we should be just as concerned for a Grusha as an Almana. The answer is no. Almana shiny. Yes, you could argue that, in fact, the reason is because of that story of Rav Kahana's. We are concerned about the consequences of a shvur shav. The thing is, it's different with an almana. We have more reason to be concerned about that. Because of the hana that she's been going and been matriach herself for the yisoimim, taking care of the house, etc. Because of that. She may be murder heter for herself. She may think, you know what? Listen, so I got a few dollars before. Out of the 200 zuz, I got a few dollars before. Big deal. I'm owed that for the way I've been keeping house for the assignment. Whereas a grusha, there's no issue with that. When she's a grusha, she's out of the house. So therefore, yes, you could say that we're concerned about the possibility of shvuas shav, but we're more concerned about it with an almana, where there's a possibility that she may have already gotten some of it and thinks that, you know what, I deserve it for my work, than there would be with a grusha, where there's no such thing. What? Well, so that's I mentioned before that Tosfos Rid says that it wasn't just so much a matter of a curse, it was a matter of that she did actually use Hashem's name. The Gemara just didn't mention that detail. That's while she was married. We're not talking about that. We're talking about after the marriage was over, after her husband died, but she's taking care of the house for the Yisraelim. But Grusha's not doing that.
She has her own kids to take care of.
Fine, she has her own kids to take care of, but she's not collecting the silver from them. She's collecting the silver while her husband is alive. Well, again, even after he's dead, not necessarily is she. I mean, if she's keeping house for them, it's not in the same household. It's not using the same estate or whatever. So it is tack of that reason because we're concerned about what might be if she mistakenly makes a shvuas sheker. But in the case of a grusha, there's less of a reason to worry about that possibility.
She just doesn't have the incentive?
There's no reason for her to think, yes, I already got a few dollars, but I'm entitled to them for my tircha by a grusha. There's no such thing. There's no tircha. After she's divorced, there's no tircha around the household that she feels that she'd be entitled to, that she might then think, I can truthfully swear that I haven't gotten any part of my ksuba. Tosfos, by the way, says that in their times, the takana was instead that instead of a shvur, therefore, what we should do is we should have her accept a cherem in Beis Din. a cherim is less serious than a shvur in that sense. So a shvur shrom, as we said, a shvur sheker is a very serious thing, as we've said. If she accepts on herself cherim that if I've previously gotten any of the money, then I should be in cherim. That's less serious as far as long term consequences than a shvur. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yirmiyah ba'Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yirmiyah ba'Abba. Rav Shmuel da'Ami Tavayu. Both Rav and Shmuel say as follows: Lo yishanu elu ba'beistin. This that we're saying in the Mishnah that they don't make it, that they originally made her swear and then they stopped doing that, and then Gamliel Azakin made a takana about the neder. This was only in beistin. They wouldn't make her take a shavuah in beistin, which includes, as you said before, benikidas chayvetz, holding a sefer Torah or what have you. They wouldn't do that because of the consequences of that. Avachutz beistin mashbiyanoisa. But if it's outside of beistin, then they still could make her swear. So Rashi says the difference is that actually, if it's in beistin, it involves holding a sefer Torah or what have you. If it's outside beistin, all it involves is an oror. All it involves is saying that do you accept like the shavuah with a soita sort of. Do you accept a curse on yourself if what you're saying is not true? Which brings us to say, therefore, this is where Tosfos Rid comes in and says, what about that case before that didn't involve a shavuah in beistin and involved a curse? So he says that involved a curse using the Eibishter's name, where she lost her son. The Gemara didn't mention, because Rav Kana didn't mention that she mentioned Hashem's name, but he says that's the implication, that it must have been that.
Well, obviously, if you use Hashem's name, whether it's for Shavuot or Neder or anything else, you're more likely to get hurt. Isn't that obvious?
Well, that's what we're saying. Therefore, Rashi is saying that if you make somebody swear outside of Beis Din, you don't use Hashem's name. You don't use Hashem's name in such a Shavuot. Therefore, go ahead and do that. The Yisoimim could, it's true, you have Rav Gamliel Azakin Takana to have her swear a Neder, but instead of that, if they want, they could have her swear a Shavuot outside of Beis Din.
So why they didn't make a takana to make a swear without using the name of Hashem? Or
because if it's in Beis Din, it necessarily uses Hashem's name, and that's a shvur tadayonim involved using Hashem's name and or using a sefer Torah, etc. In fact, the Gemara in Shavuos that says, in fact, that if dayonim make a person swear in Beis Din, they don't have them hold a sefer Torah, it's considered a mistake. It's a mistake in a basic thing of halacha. Well, not even daraisa. Even if the shvur did up on him, but it's in Beis Din, it still has to be done in shal Torah. It's still a shvur like that. There's other kinds of shvurs, the shvur hetes or whatever, but let's not get into that. But the general run of shvur daraisa and most kinds of shvur did up on him have to be done benikidas chayfes. And if not, then it's a mistake on their part. Tosfos says it's not necessarily a difference between the kiddush chayfetz or not. Even if it's a shvuah outside Beis Din, even if it's a shvuah outside Beis Din, it might well involve the kiddush chayfetz. No, it's a difference though between a shvuah d'oraita and a shvuah d'rabbanan. So outside Beis Din, they can indeed make her swear, and that would be valid. So why Taka don't they do that? Why did Rav Gamliel Azakin need a takana? That's where the Yerushalmi comes in that I mentioned before. That one idea is people were more careful about Nedarim than they were about Shavuos in those days. So Shavuah, even outside Beis Din, there still is a possibility that she may say a Shavuah, big deal, whereas a Neder she would take more seriously. And why Taka? One thing is, Tosfos mentions on other days that the kind of Neder we're talking about has to be something that makes her also in something long term, not a one shot thing. So therefore, one reason why a neder might be more chomer to her might be because, for example, if she made a neder, like we said in the Mishnah, that a certain kind of mezonos or any mezonos or whatever will be also to me, every single time she's about to eat some, she's going to remember, wait a minute, what happened? What about that neder that I made to the Yisomi? And that'll keep her on her toes, as opposed to a shavuah, as a one shot thing, she may say it's a big deal. Okay, the question is, the Gemara says, Eini, is that so, that in fact they can make her swear outside Beis Din? But we find that Rav would not allow an almana to collect her ksuba because of this problem that there's no shavua. So what about the neder? We'll talk about a couple lines in the Gemara. But Rav held that, given the circumstances in his time, then if an almana cannot collect a ksuba from the Yisrael, there's no way for her to validly collect it from the Yisrael. Without right, and that implies that even that implies even a shvuah outside based in. Akasha.
That's
the halacha. Well, wait, the halacha is not necessarily like Rav. Hold on. Okay. The Surah Masnuach. In Surah, this is how they learned this discussion. What we just said, that they mention this, that there's a difference between a shavuah in based in and outside based in, and then the question, what about how Rav did things, where apparently Rav didn't allow for a shavuah in based in or outside of based in. But Nahauda Masnuach. In Nahauda, rather, they learned the discussion going as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Our Mishnah is only talking about that you can't make the Amana swear in based in because of the severity of it. But if it's outside based in, they are able to make her swear. Again, according to Rashi, that would be just with an Oru, and according to Tosfos, it would be a Shvur de Rabbanan rather than in the style of a Shvur de Rabbanan rather than in the style of a Shvur de Araisa. So Tosfos brings from the Aruch that, for example, Shvur D'Araisa involves they put out their candles, they make a whole terrifying ceremony out of it to scare the person. That in case the full Shvur, they should realize the severity of it. Actually, the Mishnah in Shvur also mentions that before a person swears in Beis Din, they give them a whole speech explaining to them the severity of a Shvur Sheker. The whole world trembled when Avish just said Loisi says Shem Hashem Alatak Alashav, etc. Shvur D'Rabbanan, you don't have a lot of that.
According to Tosfos, you still have
Nikita Sefer. You're still holding a Sefer Torah, but you don't have all the other ceremony that goes along with it.
Lights going.
She
holds
the Sefer Torah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I believe so. I believe the person is Mia. Okay. So then, according to this version, the way they learned it in Nahauda, so that was what Shmuel had said. So not like the first version that Rav and Shmuel have made that distinction. In the second version, only Shmuel makes that distinction. The Rav Amar Afilu Chutz LeBeis Din Nami Ein Mashpiyano. So whereas Rav says this is how they learned it in Nahauda, that even outside Beis Din they cannot make her swear. And Rav LeTaimei, and Rav is going according to his own shita, the Rav LeMag B'Ksuba La Malta, because Rav would not allow an Almana to collect her Ksuba from the Yisrael. Now the question is, will he adrav Ligvia? One without a Shavua, and on the face of it, he couldn't do a neder either. So that's the question, will he adrav Ligvia? Why don't we have her? Why didn't he have her take a neder? And then, like we learned in the Mishnah, and then collect, like Rav Gamliel Azach and Sakana. The answer is b'shnei d'rav kili nidri. In Rav's time, nidarim were considered more lenient by people. People weren't as careful with them. Before we said that the Yerushalmi brings that people were more careful with nidarim than reshvus. In Rav's time, that wasn't the case anymore. People were not as careful with nidarim. Therefore, you can't use the neder method because you may get careless about it. And the Shavua method, we said, is blocked by the Mishnah, Nimnu Miliashviya. And Rav held, according to this version, that applies both whether the Shavua is done in based in or outside of based in. So therefore, he said, you're stuck. There's no way to be Magbet, or necessarily what will have to be, therefore, is the husband either shall have to come to some kind of terms with the assignment, or it'll have to be that the husband, before he passed away, arranged something for her to collect her silver from. She already asked herself, for example, as we learned in Ksuba, they set aside a bundle of money which is supposed to be used for her to collect her Ksuba.
That's where we need to go. No, because you cannot leave an almana, if you cannot do anything. So
no, because the thing is, according to Rav, as we'll get to now in a second, as we'll get to now in the Gemara, according to Rav, she can at least continue to collect mizonos. Eventually, the Yisraelim are going to say, you know what, we don't want to pay mizonos out indefinitely. Fine, we'll pay you off your Ksuba rather than let you know.
Yeah.
They
may stop altogether.
No, because she's entitled.
Going to pay mizonos, and you don't have
we'll see in the Gemara now a case involving mizonos. But it seems from the next piece of Gemara that according to Rav, she will at least be entitled to mizonos. So fine, she's entitled to mizonos, so she'll have that. Eventually, the Yisraelim, as we learned in Ksuvos, eventually the Yisraelim themselves are likely to say, you know what, every year it's going to be a huge expense for us. We may as well just pay off for Ksuvos as a one-shot deal and then have done with it. Cases, Hahida Sori Lakamed Rapuna, a certain woman, an Amona, came before Rapuna to collect her Ksuba from the assignment. Amalam Ma Evid Lach, so he says, what am I supposed to do for you? The Rab Le Magbi Ksuba La Malta. Rab would not allow an Amona to collect her Ksuba. Amrale, so she said to him, Midi Hutaima Eladuma Nakitna Midi Biksubasi. Look, what's the whole reason why Rab is concerned, or why our Mishnah is concerned that I can't collect the Ksuba, that I can't swear and collect the Ksuba because I might already have collected some part of it, and therefore there's a problem of Shavuot Shav. Fine. Chai Hashem Tzvakas Himnei Nesim Iksubah Siklum. Then I swear by the Ebershter, as the Ebershter lives, that I have not collected anything from Iksubah. Okay, so Omer Ravona, Moidir Rav Kefetzes. Okay, you know what? Rav does agree then, if she herself voluntarily jumps up and takes a shvur like that, fine, then she made a shvur. Rashi says actually at that point she will not need any further shvur. That she said, Chai Hashem Tzvakas, is good enough for us to be able to give her the ksuba on that basis. Without her holding a Sefer Torah or anything. Other Rishonim learn that, no. Once she did that, what does that tell us? It tells us that, fine, she's not worried about the consequences of Shavuot Sheker. Fine, therefore, at that point, it's true. The reason of our Mishnah falls away. The reason from Rav Kahana's story falls away. Fine, but in that case, we're still going to have to bring her to Beis Din and make her take proper Shavuot B'Nikidas Chesed. According to other Rishonim learn that way. But whatever it is, fine. The fact that she voluntarily, that's what we're saying. Rav would say that you can't lachatchila, if she doesn't voluntarily swear on her own, then there's nothing you can do. She can't swear because of the problem of a potential shvuas sheker. A neder in his times they were makel in the darim, so therefore that doesn't work either. But if she herself, like this woman over here, goes and then takes a shvur, according to Rashi, that's it you need. At that point she can collect. And according to other Rishonim, she still will have to take another shvur and Beis Din, but fine. At least that way, right. we're able to now bring her to Beis Din to have her take that shvur, whereas if she hadn't done that, we couldn't. Another case, there was a woman who came to Rabba Bar Ravuna, this is the next generation, and she wants to collect her ksuba. He says to her, my Evidlach, so what am I supposed to do for you? The Rav le Magbik Ksuba La Malta. Rav would not allow an Almana to collect a Ksuba, but Abba Mori le Magbik Ksuba La Malta. And my father, Ravuna, wouldn't allow an Almana to collect her Ksuba from Yisovim either, as we said. Omrele, so she says, okay, fine, have the Mizoni, fine. In that case, then arrange that the Yisovim have to pay me Mizonis. I have to pay for my food.
Until the
Ksuba is settled. Amalaz, he said, you're a Mizoni Nami Leslach. You don't get Mizonis at this point either. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, because the Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, now note, before we were talking according to Rav, now we're talking according to Shmuel. Hatevach Tzubas Vabeit Din Eilam Mizonis. We learned about this in Ksubas. Right. Now we had a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. At what point does the Amana lose Mizonis? Shmuel said, once she comes to Beis Din demanding her Ksuba. One reason, we talked about it in the Gemara over there, one thing is because once she does that, what's the reason why she should
get married?
She wants to get remarried. What's the reason why she should be entitled to Mizonis up to that point? Because she can say, I'm staying unmarried at this point out of covered for my first husband, that I don't think there's anybody who's equal to him. Well, if she's willing to go, she's about to collect her ksuba and get remarried, then obviously she doesn't care about that.
Necessarily, she might come to the scene without...
No, because if it was just that she needs money to live off of, she has mezonos. Yeah. Once she comes to collect the actual ksuba, then yeah, that's how Shmuel holds. Anyway.
She needs chen,
fine. But, okay, yeah, she needs chen, but chen is in order to get married, yeah?
Get married.
She needs chen, yeah. So therefore, so according to Shmuel, now that she's coming to try and collect her ksuba, she shouldn't get mezonos. Omrele, so she says to him, Afchul Akurse, your chair ought to be overturned. Like you ought to lose your position. You ought to lose your position as Dayan. Kibet Shrei Apeli, how you talking that you're passing to me according to the chumras of two different opinions? Rav's opinion that I can't take a neder or whatever and get my ksuba and Shmuel that I don't get the learners.
Yes, sir.
Well, his Talmidim were concerned. You know what? What if her klala comes true? Yeah, the klala said it. It's serious business. So achul hachul lekursei b'tarsua. So they literally over hachul lekursei means turn over his chair. She meant it in the sense of you deserve to lose your position. So fine, his talmidim took his chair and overturned it, and b'tarsua, and then they set it back up upright, so that the klala should be in the sky in that way. Nevertheless, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna was not saved from getting sick afterwards. He got sick as this klala, this almana had a certain effect on him.
What happened? Died?
It doesn't know. Just Michulsha, he got weak. Doesn't say that he died from it. But
she could have actually died because she had no mezonos, no money, nothing.
Yeah. Maybe in the end, she didn't like that previous almana chai Hashem tzvakas and was able to collect that way.
Yeah, she learned to do that.
Yeah, okay. In this case, she was learned enough to realize that one part of the coins are Rav and one part of the coins are Shmuel, you know? Okay. You know the famous verse that's brought in many places in Chassidus that you have simple people who don't know anything of a block gemara, but they're able to come up with all these complicated.
You know about that.
They're able to come up with all these complicated arguments and things that you find in the Gemara. Why? Because when it's negaya to a person, then you come in and then you're able to think.
You learn quickly.
Almost Rabbi Yehuda Rav Yirmi Yabira. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yirmi Yabira, Adrabba Beis Din, here's what you should do. When an almana comes to collect her ksuba, make her take a neder in Beis Din, whatever the Yisraelim choose, like we said in the Mishnah, the Ashba Chutzla Beis Din, make her take a shvua outside of Beis Din. Before we talk about, does he mean you have to do both, a neder in Beis Din and a shvua outside of Beis Din, or does he mean one or the other? And the lacy color of a lipo beudnai, and make sure that it becomes well known, and that I end up hearing with my ears that the ksuba was collected. I want to actually do a practical psak halacha like Shmuel, so that everybody should realize the halacha is not like Rav in this regard, not like Rav was saying and Rav Huna had quoted that you can't make her take a shavua or a nether, and therefore that she's stuck unless she comes up with chayashem tzvakas on her own. No, the halacha rather is like Shmuel, that you can make her swear outside of Beis Din, or that you can make her take a nether in Beis Din. Or again, maybe it has to be both, but at least that there is a way to do it. Kufa. Now getting back to what we said before earlier in the sugya, Amar Rav Zera Amar Shmuel Lo Yishanu El Almana, that we said that this whole business about not making him take a shavua only applies to an almana. Av a grusha mashvianoisa, but we said if she's a grusha, then we do make her swear because again we said before Lo Yimoda Hetera, there's no concern that maybe some part of it already came to her and she's going to be Moda Heter and she's going to think, you know what, I that was coming to me anyway. It's not considered part of my ksuba. But the question is, grusha to adra loy? So you're telling me that by a grusha, it's not enough for her to take a neder according to what the Yisraelim want? But we find that they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. There was a case of a woman who was from Babel. She and her husband moved to Eretz Yisrael. Later on, her husband divorced her there. So she's trying to collect her ksuba. And now he has property back home in Babel, where they originally came from. So the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael wrote a letter to the Beis Din in Babel that went like this: Eich plonisa bas ploini, kabilas gitim in yoda de acha vahidya demiskiri ayamari. Plonis bas ploini has received a get from the hands of acha vahidya, that was her husband's name, who is also known as ayamari. This goes back to what we were talking yesterday about names and nicknames and alternate names and whatnot.
Don't mention the name of the lady.
Oh, good question. Maybe she didn't have any nickname. Yeah. Maybe because the Gemara wants to point out that how you write it if the husband has it, how you write it if one of them has a nickname. Yeah. Maybe the husband only had a nickname and she didn't. Could be. Benad benadrus, and then she took a neder. And she offered fruit that's in the world on herself. That. In other words, she took a neder that Deloitte Kabilus Miksubasa, that the only things she has received from Miksuba are, before we get to the list, actually, Rashi and Tosfos argue over here. Rashi has the Girsa that she said, Kol Peiros Shavu Olam Alai, that all Peiros in the world will be also to me if this isn't true. Tosfos argues with that. We learned in Nedarim that if a person takes a neder, for example, on Kol Peiros Shavu Olam, then it's a neder is impossible to fulfill. Therefore, fine, the person may get petch for Leitisa as Shem Hashem Lakecha Lashav, but the neder itself will be bottle. So how could it possibly be over here Kol Peiros? Therefore, Tosfos says rather the Girsa should be Peiros Shavu Olam. She offered some fruit. She offered herself only an apple, let's say. She can still eat bananas or whatever. So what did I receive from my ksuba so far? Ela glufkara echad. I received one glufkara, which Rashi says a coat. The sefer tilim echad, a sefer tilim. The sefer iyov, whom em sholos, and a sefer of mishle. Gluim, which are all worn out. The shamnum b'chamishamana. We, the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, she brought all those things. We estimated their total value at 5 mana. So therefore, she's received 5 mana out of her ksuba. And she made a neder to the effect that she hasn't gotten anything else. Therefore, when she comes into your jurisdiction, when she comes back to Babel, arrange for her to collect the rest. However much it was, 200 zuz. Five mana actually is 500 zuz. So obviously we have to be talking about that her original silver was more than that.
Oh, yeah, it's more than
a mana is 100 zuz.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if these things that she received are five mana, and there's still more to come, then obviously, yeah, it must have been a large, No, no, not only the Tillim. The Tillim, initially the EO, and the coat. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you do have to remember, Naftali, Svartim were a lot rarer to come by in those days.
You didn't get the 50 cents on the card.
Yeah, there was no printing. There's there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia in Eilat Metzias that mentions a contrast which nowadays is the contrast is the other way around. Instead of a contrast over there between Tefillin versus Svartim. Tefillin, it says you can go pick up by a sofer, Bei Bar Chovu, a well-known sofer of those times. So therefore, Tefillin, if a person doesn't have their own pair, it's easy to get a replacement. Svartim, it's not so easy to get replacements for. Whereas nowadays, it's the other way around. Tefillin costs $1,000. A sofer, you can, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so you see from this that, in fact, they made her take a neder, and she was a grusha. So you see that a neder by a grusha is valid. So what is Rav Zera telling us that by a grusha you're supposed to make her take a shavua? Amar Rav Ashi, who get yivama haba? So Rav Ashi says that was actually a different case. That was she was a yivama, where this person who she received the get from, this acha b'hidya, was not actually her husband. It was her yavam. Right. What happened? We learned in yivamas. We learned extensively in yivamas that. Midaraisa, the only thing that makes a Yavama unable to marry any of the other brothers is Chalitza. If she gets Chalitza from one of the brothers, she's possible to marry any of the others. Midrabbanan also, if she receives a get from one of them. So this was the situation over here. This Achabar Idya gave her a get, which had the effect of possibling her to collect from any of the other brothers. Not to collect, sorry, to do Yibum, to marry, to do Yibum with any of the other brothers. So now she's going to collect a Ksuba from her first husband. So her first husband had died. She's an Amana, therefore. In that sense, therefore, she needs a Neder, not the Shvura, as we say in our Mishnah. So when we say over here that she received a get, this was she had received a get from her Yavam after already having been widowed from her husband. Tosfos learned differently, that actually what happened was she did do Yivum with this Achabahidya. They moved to Eretz Yisrael. Later on, he divorced her. Huxuba, we learned in Yavamas that Huxuba is still the payment of Huxuba is still supposed to come out of her first husband's property. So it still amounts to the same thing then. She's not going to be collecting from Achabar Hidya's property. She's going to be collecting from her first husband, and she's an Amana from him. Therefore, she has to therefore the Neder rather than the Shvur. The Mishnah said, Hiskin Ram Gamliel Zakin Shehinin, Chitanya Deris. Hola, that Ram Gamliel Zakin, we said, made a takana that instead of a shvua, she should take a neder, and then she can collect on that basis. So, Amar Rav Huna, Leshonar Ala B'Shalai Nisis. This only applies that she's able to take a neder and then be able to collect her ksuba. This only applies if she didn't already get remarried. So at the time she's coming to collect her ksuba, she's still single. Aval Nisis, but if she already got married, Ein Madirinai, so then you cannot make her take a neder. Now, let's consider, why not? And this is my time. Why not if she got married? Because the Mesa Labal. You're going to argue the reason is because her husband can be Mesa, the Neder. We learned in Nedarim, in the last two Prakim of Nedarim, that a husband is able to cancel his wife's Nedarim as long as it's within the same day that it was done. So you could have a situation over here. She'll go into bait. And yeah, I won't eat any fruit, I'll resignus, whatever it is. And then her husband will come home and be Mesa. Well, then in that case, you have to ask Kila Nisus Nami, so well, how does that help? If she didn't get married also, L'chim Minsava Mefa Babal. So fine, she'll make the neder now. Later on, when she gets married a month from now, her husband will cancel her then. The answer is no. No. Ein Abal Mefa Bekoid. Never mind a month. Ein Abal Mefa Bekoid. We have a general rule, which we learned in the Nedarim, that the husband is not able to cancel the Nedarim that were done before he married her. So it's not even a month. Even if it was, we learned a case over there even the same day. We learned over there a case where she made a neder and later that day she got married. Then the husband is not able to cancel those nedarim because they happened before they were married, before he married her, before he was involved. Yeah. So therefore, not a problem. If she's not married yet, let her go ahead and take this neder. It's foolproof. Question is, v'nechosh dilma azul l'gabi chacha v'shari la. Fine, don't you still have the problem with a neder that she could go and be matim neder by a chacham? Mefarshim say, by the way, you know, when you get down to it, we learned in Nedarim that you can either have a chacham or you can have three adyotis.
So why are we saying over here dafka chacham? The reason is she'd be afraid to go to shlosha adyotis. Then already three people, they already have a coil, as we've talked about before. So then she's concerned this will get back to the assignment, and then they'll say, well, you were master the neder, then in that case we're not going to give you the kibbutz. You're just playing games with us. But if she goes to a chacham, it's one person, she may figure that it'll stay a secret. The answer is kasavat tzarich lefarit as a neder. Yes. Right. The three people do the same thing as the chacham. Yeah, they're oikav atzila. Yeah.
But because it's three,
it's koil. Yeah. The answer is kasavat tzarich lefarit as a neder. Yes, but Rav Huna holds that when you go to a chacham or shloisha adyotis for that matter, when you want to be master neder, it's not enough to say I made this neder. I made this neder and I want to be master it. You have to give the details. In this case, for example, she would have to say, she would say, I made a neder not to eat any mizonis. Well, why? Because I'm trying to collect my ksuba from the yisoyim. Oh, well, in that case, I'm not going to be mopping your neder. Rav Nachman. So that's Rav Huna. Tosfos points out a number of details in our Gemara over here that are relevant. First of all, Tosfos says a lot of other possibilities over here. For example, let them make her take a neder that she won't eat a certain loaf of bread if she ever had hanah if she ever got any of the ksuba by that point. Let her eat it right now in front of us, and that way we'll know if she taka had gotten any of that money, she's going to say, you know what, I can't eat it. I don't want to be over on my neder. So why don't we do that? This is where Tosfos mentions that distinction, that it's a one-time thing versus an ongoing thing. A one-time thing she might not be so worried about, but a long-term, an ongoing thing, which is constantly offered in the zonas or payers or what have you, that she'd be concerned about. Other mafarshim give other reasons as well, one of them being that the Gemara was saying that she could go to a chacham and be matir it. Some Rishonim learn, I believe that Ramban and others talk about this, that when a chacham is matir, we learned about this in the Dardim, when a chacham is matir a neder, he's oikir at meikore, he makes it as if it never existed. So therefore, fine. She'll feel free to go ahead and eat the bread. Afterwards, I'll collect my ksuba, then I'll go to the chacham and be matir it, and I'll be considered that there was never a neder here in the first place. So therefore, that doesn't work. Tosfos also asked, why don't you just have her second husband there and let him, right away after she makes the neder, let him say, Kayim Lichi, that this neder is Mekoyim, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to be made for it anymore. Okay, well, Tosfos says, what if he whispers to her, Mufa Loch, before he says, Kayim Lichi? Other Mepharshim talk about, what about, we learned in the Dorim, that after a husband is Mekayim, he can be Matur Neder, the Kiyum, and then be able to be made for it later that day. Rav Nachman, I feel a missus. Whereas Rav Nachman says it doesn't matter. Even if she got married, she can still take the neder like it says in our Mishnah. That question is, missus vader made for labal, you're going to have that problem. Her husband is going to be made for her neder. The answer is, Rav Huna had said that if she's married, she can't take this neder because her husband will be able to be made for her later that day. So Rav Huna says, therefore, you can only do it before she's married. So then the husband doesn't have any rights over it. But according to Rav Nachman, you're saying there's no difference. Even if she's already remarried, but she's coming to collect her ksuba, she's able to take this neder. Why? She'll take the neder, she'll go home, and her husband will remake her. Yeah. The answer is, d'madrina la barabim. Yes, but what we do is we make her take this neder barabim. We make her take it in public. Not so much a coil, but we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara that one possibility that we're going to have two different opinions whether when you make a neder berabim, are you able to be matur such a neder? So you do it berabim. Then you can't. We're assuming at this point you can't be matur it. Maisvi the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. But I says, Nisus Goyva Ksubasa, that if she's married, she can collect her Ksuba, im Nodra, only if she makes the Neder. Now, my Rab Nodra Hashta. Doesn't that mean that she makes the Neder now? And this is talking about after she's married, so how does that fit with what Rav Huna said, that it doesn't work after she married? The answer is, the Nodra Meikara. No, we're talking about that she would, according to Rav Huna, the bride would have to mean that when can she collect her Ksuba after she's married, if before she was married, she had taken the Neder. Because then there's no possibility of her husband being made for it. Finally, you have another bride that says in order. She gets married, she takes neder, and she collects her ksuba. That clearly contradicts the Ravuna. Then there's Tanoim. That's actually Machlokas Tanoim. The Ikalamando Amar Neder Shehudu Baravim Yeshle Hafara, the Ikalamando Amar Emay Hafara. There's two different opinions. We're going to learn later on in our parak. We're going to have another sugya about the Yidim of Nedarim. We're going to talk about the question of whether if you take a neder Baravim, is it possible to be Mefer or Matir such a neder or not? So there's an opinion that says you can. And according to back then, you need Rav Huna's shita, that the husband should not be able to be made for it for her, and we're not worried about a chacham being mastered again, because the chacham is going to hear all the details, and he's going to say, I'm not going to do any such thing. And the other opinion says you can be made for it, the other way around. The day that says would be according to Rav Nachman then. It would be according to Rav Huna. Yes, Yeshle Hafara. Therefore, you cannot have her take a neder after she was married, because then her husband can be made for it, even if it was done by Rabin, he still will be able to be made for it. If you follow the opinion that a neder barabim you cannot be mefer, then you can go with Rav Nachman's idea. She can take the neder after she's married, do it barabim, there won't be any afara. So now they had another question. When you're being mocked a neder, do you have to specify the details of the neder or not?
We just said that yes,
but now we're revisiting that. Rav Nachman Amar Einet Sarech, Rav Papa Amar Sarech. Rav Nachman Amar Einet Sarech. Rav Nachman says you don't have to. Why? Because on the contrary, if you're going to tell me that you have to give all the details, Zimni de Gaiz Leila Dibure, what happens? You may have a person who goes to be Mappin Eder, he doesn't give all the details. The Chacham Mai de Shama Mefer, and then the Chacham is just going to be Mefer based on what he heard. So therefore, on the contrary, you don't want the person to specify all the details. Better let him just say, I made a neder on Paris, let's say, and then let the Chacham be master it on that basis, as opposed to that he should have to say, I've made a neder on Paris because of such circumstances, and what if he leaves out those circumstances and the Chacham is master it without realizing?
Is it still valid?
Well, that's what we're saying. Rapapa Amat Sarech, Mishra Milsa Di Sora, whereas Rapapa says that you do need to specify the details because it can be a matter of Isser. What if, for example, our case of collecting a ksuba, for example, or Rashi gives another example, what about somebody says, I'm making a neder that if I do such an aveda, that Paris will be also to me. So what, he's going to come and be master neder, so now he's going to be master in the Paris, and now he's going to be able to do the aveda? You don't want that. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi a case where somebody comes to Rabun to be matir in a Rabun or to be matir in neder. What was the neder? He says, I made a neder that I'm not going to earn any money. What kind of a neder is that? So the man says, I meant earning money by gambling. Rabun says, Baruch Shabbach of the Divrei Chachamim. The bench is the Eidrishter who chose the words of the Chachamim. That's how he said, Sarach Mepharet a neder. If you hadn't been Mepharet, then I would have been matir you, because of course, a person can't live without earning money.
Do you have to make such a neder?
Because a person can live without earning mavachim, without earning profit. Fine, they won't earn profit, so live off tzedakah or whatever. Yeah. Let's continue with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to try to bring a proof about this, and we're going to finish off the sugya about that tomorrow.